It's National Championship Eve as Alabama looks to take on Clemson in the National Championship game. The fourth time in 4 years these two teams will meet in the Natty or in the College Football Playoff. Four Verticals Podcast, Episode 19. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Lots to get into as we break down number one Alabama and number two Clemson. Of course, Alabama took down Oklahoma 45-34 in the Orange Bowl. Clemson handled Notre Dame with no problem, 30-3 in the Cotton Bowl. We will look at those games briefly and then step into Monday night's game in Santa Clara. I also have some thoughts on that, the fact that this highly touted college football national championship game is being played in Santa Clara, California. I've got some thoughts on that. We'll save all of our thoughts on the national championship game for the back half of this podcast. Want to put a bow on the bowl season and really everything else going on in college football. And I think the best place to do that is I want to start with the Sugar Bowl and focus there. Texas taking down Georgia 28-21. I have a ton of thoughts on this. Justin Fields transferring to Ohio State. Lincoln Riley getting extended by Oklahoma and hiring Alex Grinch as his defensive coordinator. I want to get into some of these other storylines before we get into Alabama and Clemson, so stay with me here as we get through some of this stuff. And like I said, I want to start with Texas and Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. I was at that game. My girlfriend, Hannah, she is a Texas alum, so she got tickets and said, we're going. I said, okay, let's take a trip to New Orleans and go check this game out, and that is what we did. Awesome stadium, by the way. On the outside, it kind of looks like a dump. It's my first time I've been to New Orleans, though. Inside, though, that stadium gets loud. It was a great crowd. It was terrific. Highly recommend going to a game there. Would love to attend a Saints game there someday. But back to the game itself, Texas 28, Georgia 21. And on the surface, if you didn't watch this game, Texas outgained them by 55. They beat Georgia by 7. Probably just minor upset. They just slightly outplayed Georgia. No. Texas controlled this game from start to finish. You look early on in this game, they took the ball straight down the field, 10 plays, 75 yards, and a touchdown. Sam Ellinger running it in from 2 yards out, his one of three touchdowns on the day. They set the tone, 10-0 after the first quarter, 20-7 at the half, and that's what it was entering the fourth. Ended up being 28-14. With just over a minute left, Georgia would drive it down late. Texas had a couple of targeting penalties in the final drive. Anthony Cook with just a bonehead play, almost you could argue headhunting Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm, who I'll have some thoughts on him in just a second as well. So they were able to punch one in late, but did not get the onside kick. But nonetheless, Texas controlled this game. Coming into this game, a lot of the thoughts were, okay, Texas just getting to this game, just getting to the Big 12 championship. This is a big turn for Tom Herman as they take momentum into next year. The thought was, if you could just play Georgia close, can you be competitive and not get run out of the field? Well, they dominated. They were the more physical team. They brought more energy. And, yeah, there's that idea out there, Georgia wanted to be in the playoff. They didn't want to play this game. I hate that argument, and here's why. If you're a competitor, once you get your feet into a game, and yeah, I could buy into this. Texas had more energy early, and they had more juice, and they probably came out more fired up to start the game. I can buy that. But once Georgia gets down 10-0, as a competitor, aren't you saying, guys, we got to play this game? Don't you want to win this game? It's the Sugar Bowl. It's a New Year's Six game. Like, I just don't buy that Georgia laid down, and I don't think that they laid down. Kirby Smart downplayed that completely. He said our focus was on Texas. We prepared for Texas. We wanted to beat Texas, and we were unable to do that. So, throughout this game, it was so interesting. Texas controlled the game on the ground. They ran it 49 times for 178 yards. That's under 4 yards a clip, but they committed to the run game. Sam Ellinger, 19 of 27, 169, no touchdowns, no picks. Did run in 3 touchdowns. He ran it 21 times for 64 yards, a bunch of times on the goal line. He was able to punch in 3 of those. Trey Watson added 91 yards on the ground. They were the more physical team. Georgia ran 30 times for 72 yards. 2.5 yards a carry. Elijah Holyfield only had 62 yards rushing. By the way, Jake Fromm was not good in this game. The stat line overall looks okay. 21 of 35, 224 yards and 3 touchdowns against 1 pick. But the QBR is more telling, 46.6. Any pass past 10 yards down the field was completely inaccurate. A few stand out to me. The post at the end of the first half where I think Brandon Jones has the pass breakup. The guy's got 2 or 3 steps on him. He throws it late, high, and inside, and Texas is able to break it up. If he just lofts that out in front, it's an easy touchdown, and all of a sudden, it's a 20-14 game at the half. That one gets knocked down, and then Fromm takes a sack on the next play, and they have to punt at the end of the half. I was not impressed with Jake Fromm in this football game, and I know he's a good quarterback, and he's still their quarterback moving forward. Justin Fields, of course, is transferring to Ohio State. We were wondering if we would see him in this game. He clearly had his foot out the door and is moving on. I'll have a couple of thoughts on that in just a moment. But Texas outplayed Georgia in every aspect. They had the better quarterback. They ran the ball better. They tackled better defensively. The special teams were sharper. I mean, they just played better. This was not a fluke. This is not a fluke. And moving forward, you look at this, Colin Johnson has announced he will come back, the tall receiver for Texas who had a big season. We're still waiting word on Lowell Jordan Humphrey. I think it's 50-50. I think January 15th is the deadline on that, so we will see if he comes back. The defensive end, Malcolm Roach, he is coming back. He had a nice game, 4 tackles in this game. He was a big part of that front 7, which will largely need to be replaced. Gary Johnson, a lot of those guys, Anthony Wheeler, who's the defensive end? Breckenhager, a lot of those guys, Charles Amenihu, Chris Nelson, a lot of those guys moving on for Texas. But, you know, they'll roll in some talent. Tom Herman's had a couple of nice recruiting classes. This, to me, though, is a significant win for Texas moving forward. I'm a big believer, especially when you get a new staff, you start to get your own recruits on campus, that a win like this, that can mean a lot carrying over into the next season and into the future of the program. You look at what Sam Ellinger did this year in his sophomore season. 3,292 yards passing on just under 65% completion percentage, 25 touchdowns against just 5 picks, added 482 yards rushing and 16 touchdowns on the ground, and just lost 1 fumble. Did put it down 6 times, but only lost 1. He had 41 touchdowns and 6 turnovers this year. I mean, quietly. You watch him play, nothing he does is pretty. He doesn't have the prettiest arm motion. He's not always the most accurate quarterback. Lil Jordan Humphrey and Colin Johnson are really big targets. Devin Duvernay, he's a nice speed player. He's got some really talented weapons to work with, but the guy just gets the job done. You know, he has a confidence to him. And speaking of confidence, this is what he had to say after the game when Texas ultimately took down Georgia. Here's Sam Ellinger and his declaration for the Texas program moving forward.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
It's going to be interesting. You know, I think they're back in the sense of they are very relevant. They will be preseason top 10. I think next year they play LSU week 2. That'll be a top 10 matchup. More likely than not, they've got a lot coming back. Joe Burrow played really strong down the stretch for the Tigers, and especially in their big win over Central Florida in the Peach Bowl. But for Texas, you've got a quarterback you really like. You've got at least 1 elite receiver coming back, and possibly 2 if little Jordan Humphrey comes back. Keontae Ingram, the freshman running back, he slowed down toward the end of the year, but middle and the later part of the season, he really broke out. I think he's going to take off next year. They got some guys coming in. Devin Duvernay is still back. If you can get a little Jordan back, Brandon Jones to come back at safety, that potential with him. And Caden Stearns, I mean, Jones and Stearns was already one of the better safety duos in the Big 12 this year. Probably will be the best one next year if Brandon Jones comes back. By the way, real quick before I get back to Texas moving forward, Georgia, I could not be less inspired by what transpired with the Georgia Bulldogs over the past month. They played Alabama very tough. I get it. That's probably a game, looking back, they probably should have been able to close that one out. But you know what? They didn't. And those players going on social media during the college football playoff when Notre Dame's getting waxed and Oklahoma got off to a slow start, and them laughing and, you know, thinking that they should have been there, no, you shouldn't have. And they got too caught up in not being in the playoff. You lost your playoff game to Alabama, and you proved you didn't belong when you didn't show up and play against Texas and you got beat. Georgia's three biggest games this year against LSU, Alabama, and Texas, they played two good quarters. They lost by 20 to LSU. They played a good first half against Alabama, got completely outplayed in the second half and outclassed. And they got outclassed for four quarters by Texas. They played two good quarters out of 12 in their three biggest games. I don't want to hear it. And these players going on social media and laughing and complaining on social media about not being in the playoff, you know, I'm just not here for it, you know? They got what they deserved. Texas went in there and they hit them in the mouth early and they set the tone. And by the way, Bevo set the tone early by almost killing Uga on the sideline before the game, of course. And that took off on social media about an hour before kickoff. But kudos to Texas. Kudos to Tom Herman. You know, he's not the most likable guy. You know, I don't like some of the stuff he does, but you can't deny his impact on the wins and losses. You know, he said it at at Big 12 Media Days. It was big to win the Texas Bowl last year. Maybe it was. Maybe winning a bowl game for the first time in a few years and carrying that over into this year really set the tone. And, you know, look, this is not a perfect season by Texas. They lost that early one to Maryland. You know, that's unacceptable. They lose at Oklahoma State against a team they should beat. You know, obviously it was going to be tough to beat Oklahoma for a second time, but look, 10 wins, beat a top five team in Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. I think before the season, if you were asked as a Texas fan that you were told you would win 10 games and win the Sugar Bowl against Georgia, or you would take your chances and hoping for a better result, I think you'd sign up for that every time, especially where Texas is right now. Now the next step is winning the Big 12 and being a factor in the college football playoff discussion. And that's where we transition here. Lincoln Riley gets his extension and a pay raise from Oklahoma. The official numbers have not been released, but he was the 16th highest paid coach in college football before. I would imagine he is somewhere in the top five now, probably $6.5 million per year, somewhere in that range. He has hired Alex Grinch from Ohio State to run his defense. Grinch went to Ohio State largely because he thought Greg Schiano was gone last year when he initially took the Tennessee job, but that thing got revoked. So if you don't know his work, he turned Washington State into a top 35 defense a few years ago when they couldn't stop anybody. So he is a credible coach in this industry, kind of a rising guy here. So I think that's a big get for Oklahoma. I still think you have to make Oklahoma – they're still the team to beat in the Big 12 until someone takes them down. Obviously, it looks like they'll have a new quarterback. I don't see a scenario where Kyler Murray goes back to Oklahoma. I think it'll either be the Oakland A's or the NFL. But Texas is right there now. They beat Oklahoma once this year. They lost to him once this year. Regardless of who's playing quarterback at Oklahoma, I can't imagine they'll have the impact of Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray. I mean, back-to-back Heisman winners. They're going to be good, but I can't imagine they're going to be as special as those two guys were. But the goal now for Texas is win the Big 12. Get to the college football playoff. That's the progression here. You know, the playoff next year might still be a little premature, especially looking at Alabama and Clemson. You figure those are going to be two locks next year. That leaves you just two spots. But I think winning the Big 12 is in reach next year. They got a lot coming back. They got their quarterback. You know, they got to figure out that front seven defensively with a lot of departures there. But they're going to have weapons on offense. And Tom Herman's getting this thing going here. So Texas is – they're not back-back, but you string a couple of 10-win seasons together, win a Big 12 championship, you're well on your way back to national prominence. So those are my thoughts on the Texas-Georgia game and the Longhorns moving forward. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Twitter, at Harrison1033. I'm talking college football all the time, so feel free to hit me up on there. Now we got to get to the big stuff, It's Alabama, it's Clemson, it's part four. For the four straight year, these two teams meet in the college football playoff, and for the third time in the national championship, Bama 2, Clemson 1. Will Clemson even the series up, or will Alabama be national champions yet again? I discuss on the other side. I'm Harrison Graham. I'm your host of the Four Verticals Podcast, episode 19, rolling along here. Stay with me. All right, time for the important stuff here on the Four Verticals Podcast, episode 19, rolling along and ultimately coming to a conclusion at the end of this segment. Kudos to Texas. I gave my spiel on them, but it's now to the important stuff. Clemson, Alabama, part four, third time in the national championship these two teams are meeting in the past 4 years. I should mention, let's look at the history of this matchup. 2015 season, Bama beats Clemson 45-40 in the national championship. Next year, Clemson bounces back, 35-31 win. Of course, Hunter Renfro with the game-winning catch there. By the way, Hunter Renfro is still on campus. He will be playing Alabama for the fourth time for Clemson. I'm sure he'll find a way to finagle his way back on campus next year. He is the Perry Ellis of college football. Nonetheless, continues to make plays and made a few against Notre Dame in the semifinal game. You look last year, really the only one-sided one. Alabama controlled that game defensively, 24-6, and their win over Clemson in the semifinal game. Kelly Bryant wasn't able to get anything going for Clemson, and ultimately is why Dabo Swinney made the switch to Trevor Lawrence early in the season this year. And I think that's a place we start looking at this matchup, is with the Clemson Tigers and kind of just – how they got here throughout the season. Early in the season, they were kind of going back and forth with Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence, weren't playing super crisp football. Ultimately, Swinney turned to Lawrence ahead of that fifth game against Syracuse, which, ironically enough, Lawrence left that game with injury, and Chase Bryce had to save him to beat Syracuse. Otherwise, they may not even be here in this game, may not have made the college football playoff. But once they got rolling, they really did get rolling, and that was on full display against Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl. I was at that game working for my my main job here at 103.3 FM ESPN. 30-3, didn't feel that close. I gotta say, man, here's the difference between a Clemson and a Notre Dame, and why the gap between the two or three elites, and really I'll just Alabama and Clemson and everybody else right now. Georgia, Ohio State from a personnel standpoint are very close, but I can't quite put them on that level because they're not consistently getting to the playoff and winning in the playoff like Clemson and Alabama are. Clemson doesn't have its All-American defensive lineman, Dexter Lawrence, in this game, and you don't even notice it because they have so much depth. They just plug away. Austin Bryant does his thing. Albert Huggins plugs in. He has an impact early in the game. Notre Dame loses its All-American corner. Julian Love exits with some sort of a head injury. He ultimately returned in the second half. But when he left, all of a sudden, the secondary Clemson receivers are just flying by him. That's the difference right now between Clemson and Notre Dame. Notre Dame's, you know, starters, they can, you know, they can compete with Clemson. Yeah, they're not better, but, you know, they somewhat belong on the same field with them. Once you challenge the depth, though, it's not even close. Love goes out. All of a sudden, Lawrence is able to find guys and hit a couple of big plays. Justin Ross, the 6'4 freshman receiver, unbelievable in this game. Six catches, 148 yards, two touchdowns. The running back, Travis Etienne, he's just a sophomore. 14 carries, 109 yards, and a touchdown, including a 62-yard scamper. T. Higgins, another freshman, four catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, these players that Clemson and Alabama, which I'll get to Alabama in a minute, they're just next-level players, and they're all young. You look at Clemson's core four offensive players. Trevor Lawrence, true freshman. Travis Etienne, true sophomore. Justin Ross, the receiver, true freshman. T. Higgins, true sophomore. They're all coming back next year. And I'm not looking forward ahead to – I don't want to look too far ahead to next year. We still have a national championship to play. But you're just sitting there thinking, how is it not going to be Alabama-Clemson again next year? And everybody complains about, oh, I'm tired of this game. Look, I want someone to break through as much as the next guy. But these are the two best programs in college football. I want to see the best play. Yeah, I would like to see someone else be the best. But, you know, I'd rather see this than Notre Dame and Georgia. You know, they got the four right in the college football playoff, and the two best emerged. That's why I don't think it's a big problem if you expand to eight, just to, you know, give a little more opportunity and, you know, expand a little bit. Because more often than not, the two best are going to emerge anyway. And Clemson and Alabama are the two best. Make no mistake about it. Again, Clemson completely handled Notre Dame. Ian Book had no chance of getting anything going for the Fighting Irish. Their only chance was Dexter Williams running the football. He was unable to do so early in that football game. And Clemson just controlled it. They hit the few big plays in the passing game. ETN got loose for a long touchdown run. All of a sudden, it's 30-3, and the game's over before you even know it. Flip side of things, Alabama, their path to get here. Most dominant team throughout the season. Only time they faced adversity was in the SEC championship game when Tua Tagovailoa tried to battle through an ankle sprain. Ultimately, was pulled for Jalen Hurts. Down 14, he guides them back to a win over Georgia to get to this point. And what do they do against Oklahoma? Tua gets mostly healthy. They get out to a 28-0 lead before you can blink. 17 minutes into the game, Oklahoma's down 28-0. And to Oklahoma's credit, they battled back. Kyler Murray did his thing, threw for 308 and a couple of scores, ran for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Made it interesting, cut it to 11 a couple of times in the second half. Ultimately, the lead was too far to overcome. 45-34 was the final. But Tua put on a borderline historic performance. 24 of 27, 318 yards, and four touchdowns. Also, didn't run much, five carries, 9 yards. His three incompletions, all three were catchable. I mean, the guy is just sensational. If these two quarterbacks could both come out this year, they might be the top two picks, although Dwayne Haskins would have something to say about that, especially regarding Tua. But these two quarterbacks, I mean, this is going to be a terrific game. You look at this all around. I mentioned the young guys with Clemson. It's not too far different for Alabama. Josh Jacobs is a junior, their running back. He's become kind of their main guy now. He's probably going to come back next year. You lose Damian Harris, but he's not your every-down guy anyway. Najee Harris, he's only a sophomore. He'll be coming back. All the receivers, for the most part, are back. Jerry Jeudy's a sophomore. Devontae Smith, he's only a sophomore. I mean, across the board, I mean, Waddle is a young player. These are just – these two teams and what these two coaches have been able to do year in and year out, getting the best of the best. I mean, think about this. Kelly Bryant is a really good college quarterback. I mean, really good. Yeah, he's not Deshaun Watson. He's certainly not Tua or Trevor Lawrence, which is why they switched to Lawrence. But this is a top 10, top 15 college quarterback probably. Will probably give Missouri a pretty good spark next year. And Dabo Swinney is saying, you know what? We would go undefeated and we would make the playoff and probably get to the national championship game with Kelly Bryant. But Trevor Lawrence gives us the best chance to win, and the best chance to win a national championship as a true freshman. That takes guts, man. That just goes to show the level of player that these two teams get. Same thing with Saban. I love Jalen Hurts. I think he's an incredible competitor and a great leader and is a good, solid college quarterback. But he knew that, especially in today's college football, you got to score more points. He can't win these games. He wouldn't be winning national championships anymore with the Greg McElroys of the world. You got to score points. Tua Tagovailoa gives you the best chance to score the most points. That's why he turned to him against Georgia last year in the SEC title game. That's why he's been the starter in the national championship game, I should say. And that's why he's been the guy this year and probably would have won the Heisman had he not got hurt in the SEC championship game. He's that good. These two programs have what other programs don't. Incredible depth at every single position. There's going to be so many NFL players in this game. So much talent all across the field. And I don't even care about, you know, oh, this guy has 17 NFL players, this team has 14. Like, yeah, that's great and that's cool. I'm just talking about just raw, fun talent at the college level. These two teams just happen to have the guys that funnel the most into the NFL as well. It's incredible. It's incredible. You know, you look at the matchup of this game, I think a key for Alabama is you can't let ETN get loose running the football. Notre Dame did a decent job on him until he had that 62-yard run. Alabama against Oklahoma, really the only guy who ran on him was Kyler Murray. 17 carries, 109 yards, and a touchdown, 6.5 a clip. Kennedy Brooks only had 6 carries for 35 yards. Trey Sermon, 9 for 19. Look for Clemson to try to give ETN 20 carries. You can't put it all on Trevor Lawrence's shoulders if you're Clemson. I think that's a key for Alabama. Force Trevor Lawrence and Clemson into being a one-dimensional passing offense. And they are very good at that. Do not get me wrong. But the key in these games of these caliber is make the team one-dimensional. Either make them beat you with the run or make them beat you with the pass. And I think shutting down or slowing down, I should say ETN, because I think he'll get some, is the key. I think you keep him under 80 yards if you're Alabama. That's a good number. That gives you a really good chance to win. Because as good as Lawrence is, this will be by far the most athletic and fast defense that he's faced in Alabama. And it's not a top-level elite Alabama defense, at least to their standard, but it's still a very, very good one. Still one of the 5 or 6 best in the country this year. It's going to be fun, man. Justin Ross, the 6'4 freshman receiver for Clemson, I think he is a future superstar, both at the college level and in the NFL one day. He was just blowing by Notre Dame defenders. That's a good Notre Dame defense. I think that's a key matchup to watch if you're Alabama. That's a guy you got to key in on. T. Higgins. Hunter Renfrow, he's still there. The guy just makes plays. Have less than 500 yards this year. Had 4 catches, 62 yards against Notre Dame, though. In his 3 games against Alabama, he's got, I believe it's 3 touchdowns. The guy steps up in the biggest games. So you know he's going to be an X factor. There's just so much talent all over the field. I mean, Clemson does, I mean, yeah, not having Dexter Lawrence hurts. That front four is just sick, though. I mean, it's just sick. Bryant is just, Austin Bryant's an incredible player. Christian Wilkins is going to do his thing. Albert Huggins plugging in for Bryant. I mean, it's just, the depth is just off the charts. And it's the same for Alabama. I mean, Alabama's got 4 NFL wide receivers. 4. They have gone from a power run program and playing defense to let's air it out with probably the best quarterback in the country and throw it all over the yard to all these speedy receivers. I mean, this is going to be such an entertaining game. Alabama's been the best team all year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Clemson, you know, really good team, benefited from a bad ACC. I think that's fair to say. You know, they proved they're more than worthy with their win over Notre Dame and just dominating a good Fighting Irish team. Alabama, though, just the level of consistency throughout the season, throughout the Nick Saban era. They would never do what Georgia did against Texas. And you could point to when they didn't show up super well and lost to Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl a couple of years ago, 5 years ago. Fine. Nick Saban demands the best, and he gets the best. And that's why he's won 5 national championships at Alabama and is a favorite to win a 6th one. Dabo Swinney is the one guy who steps up to him, though, and is not intimidated. Clemson will not be intimidated in this football game. The keys for Alabama, contain ETN, make Lawrence beat you. I think if you're Clemson, you got to try and put pressure on Tua. That ankle's still not 100%. I thought OU should have sold out on the blitz more and just tried to make him move around. That's the key. I would make him move. I would make him move. Clemson's front four has to win, and they got to bring extra pressure at times. I think that would be my game plan if I'm Dabo Swinney and his defensive coordinator, Brent Venables. You know he's going to have a good game plan, but I would make Tua move. Take their running backs out of it and make him be Superman, and he might be able to. Again, he was unbelievable against Oklahoma. they actually did a decent job on Alabama's running backs. You know, Bama ran it 42 times for 200 yards. I mean, that's a good number, but that's not an outstanding number, especially against that OU defense. Force Tua into being Superman. And if you're Alabama, make Trevor Lawrence beat you vertically. I'm not betting against either of these quarterbacks. I'm going to lean Alabama, and that's where we'll end things here. My last official pick of the season. Last time I checked, and let's see, I think Alabama is a 4.5-point spread. That's what it is currently. That's what we'll roll with. Give me Alabama 31, Clemson 24, and another classic. I think this is going to be a great game. By the way, I went 5-7 in my last dozen picks leading into this game, so I'm sitting at 65-56-1, looking to get 10 games above 500 on the year. I'm rolling tide. Give me Alabama 31-24. I think this is going to be a great game. I think both quarterbacks will show out. I think both defenses will make timely plays. I just think Tua is going to make one more play. He's going to find a way to get this thing done for Alabama. It's going to be the sixth national championship for Nick Saban in the Alabama Crimson Tide era over the last dozen years. The guy is incredible. Dabo Swinney is a close second right now in college football. Clemson's a close second to the best program in the country. But the model of consistency and the standard still rides in Tuscaloosa. By the way, one last thought. Stupid as hell this game is being played in Santa Clara, California. The only time a college football national championship game should be played in California is at the Rose Bowl. The 49ers stadium, the field's not in great shape. There's a chance of rain. Tickets have dropped significantly because people don't want to go to Santa Clara. Something to watch out for. I mean, I'm sure it'll be sold out, but man, I am not a fan of going out there at all. Stick to the traditional college football venues. You know, Jerry World, mix that and get that in the mix. I wouldn't even hate Indianapolis, but Santa Clara, no thanks. This needs to be a one and done. I got Alabama 31-24 and winning a national championship, their third in the last four seasons. It's going to be a great game. Episode 20 will be sometime in the next week, breaking down this one and my final thoughts on the 2018 college football season. Thanks for riding with me throughout this year. We'll have one more episode to go as we put a wrap on this season. Alabama 31, Clemson 24. That's my prediction. I'm Harrison Graham here on the Four Verticals Podcast. Always remember, as I always give this advice before I sign off, I think we'll see it a lot tomorrow night. Remember, always go deep.